Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every day, starting 10 days out from the NFL draft, we've been taking one position group from the Panthers and breaking it down. How has it changed since last season? What do they still need to do? And with the draft next Thursday, although the Panthers don't have a pick till Friday, we then bring up what could they do in the draft to help this position, if they will do anything in the draft to help that position. Today, we decided to break down. I was going to say tackle, but I want to say position that has the ball. So I'm like, hey, today we're going to tackle the wide receivers. Today we're going to break down the wide receivers, which is one of the more buzzy, one of the more talked about positions this offseason. Probably because they needed to do a lot.
Yep.
It needed a full scale knockdown, start from the ground up, rebuild. And they've done a good job thus far. They're in the middle of the rebuild. Right, so it may not look good, right? It's have you known anyone that's like built a house, meaning that where sometimes even it's they just get to like pick the fixtures and stuff, and then but they get to watch their house get built. They visit it, and it's like, hey, like 6 weeks from now we're gonna move into our house, and they have a picture, and it's like, they got a lot to do in six weeks.
You sure about that?
You're standing in front of something that looks like just wood, just boards.
You got a tent in the front yard? Like, what are you doing here, buddy?
I feel like that's where the Panthers' wide receiver room is now. It's like they've done a lot of work. Still looks wildly incomplete, but you can get excited, right? There's a date on when things are going to get finished, and you hope they make it. Your builder is asking you what kind of knobs you want on your cabinets. And you're going like, maybe we should worry about walls and doors first. But if you think we need to decide, I guess we like these. Last year, it was Adam Thielen, DJ Chark, Jonathan Mingo, Terrace Marshall Jr., and Laviska Shenault. That was the group to get excited about preseason. Chark, Marshall, Shenault, gone. Thielen and Mingo back, but in very different roles. Hopefully.
Throwing Amir Smith-Marset into that, too.
Who was a later addition and then ended up... And I almost count him as like a returner, that if you can get something out of him in the wide receiver room, great. There was also practice squad Mike that had one catch for 45 yards last year.
Great catch.
Which was exciting for the 4 seconds that it took place. Mm-hmm. And then for the next couple games, it was like, will they get practice squad Mike back in there? They did not. Or he was in there, but he's dinging the ball. So anyway, Thielen and Mingo are coming back, but the reason why I'm saying it's a full-scale knockdown rebuild is Thielen's not going to be the number one. And Mingo isn't going to be depended upon to be one of the playmakers, not in the same way he was last year, where it was like, if Mingo's not making plays downfield, this offense, it doesn't really have a field stretcher because DJ Chark got a case of the dropsies. So here's what it's going to look like. Deontay Johnson, who they brought in on a fantastic trade, which the more and more I think about it, the more and more I like it. And I liked it a lot when it took place. They were going to cut Dante Jackson, somehow worked him into a trade package to go get Deontay Johnson with a pick swap of late round picks. Great, absolutely great trade.
Johnson caught a lot of passes for the Pittsburgh Steelers. A lot of them.
He's the number one. Mm-hmm. Which allows Adam Thielen to drop down to at least the number two, which I like him a lot more as a number two than a number one. I would add they're going to add two more in the coming draft.
I can see that.
They're going to add a second rounder and a day three pick. Either the 33rd overall pick. So the Panthers have the 33rd and 39th. Those are both top 10 picks in the second round. One, their own pick, and another they got as part of the Brian Burns deal. I would be very surprised if that draft capital doesn't end up with at least one wide receiver. Very surprised. Now, that's not to say like, oh, it's definitely 33 or 39 because they might trade back or they. But if those two picks are made and it doesn't somehow lead to the Panthers bringing a wide receiver in, I would be wildly surprised. Wildly surprised for this reason. It's a very deep wide receiver draft. We've talked about it ad nauseum. Everyone's talked about it because, you know, half of NFL coverage has turned into fantasy football coverage. There's a lot of wide receivers that are, like, we'll look at the very top of the wide receivers just to explain the point I'm trying to make here. There's Marvin Harrison Jr., who's seen as kind of a generational guy. There's Malik Nabers, who's seen as, everybody will say it, if Marvin Harrison Jr. wasn't here, he'd be the number one of the last however many drafts. Then there's Rome Odunze out of Washington, who is getting that same treatment. In some drafts, he could be the number one wide receiver. In this one, he's third. There's going to be someone that the Panthers can pick early in the second round where they can say, if this player was in the draft three drafts ago, he would have been a first-round pick, or four drafts ago, or five drafts ago. There is going to be a player that they, in other years, would have a first-round grade on that they can get in the second round at wide receiver. That's what you need to do when you don't have a first-round pick. That allows, like, the whole roles to change. Thielen can be the wise advice giver. He can be the old grizzled vet. He can be the gather around, children, let me tell you about a time pre-cell phones. Like, Adam Thielen can be that guy. Mingo can develop without having so much pressure on him to make all of the big plays. You can lean on Deontay Johnson to be the ham and egger, right? To be the, we need to get a lot of first downs. You need to beat your guy. When Bryce needs a play, he's going to look to you. Then you can have whoever you draft in the second round as the playmaker. That takes pressure off of Mingo. That allows Adam Thielen to age more gracefully, and that allows, you know, the last 6 weeks of your build to go, all right, yeah, we could live here.
Plus, as well, Thielen being there, you don't put as much pressure on that second-round pick, assuming, to be the number two guy right away. He can work his way into it.
Or even if he doesn't become the number two this year.
Yeah.
I like Thielen as a number two.
That's fine.
If you want to use the number second-round pick as your number three wide receiver and playmaker, right, and you know, the guy to take a shot on, or shot two, I should say, on second and short. Because here's what's going to happen, and it's literally the definition of what Dave Canales has talked about when it comes to his offense. It's been run, 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 stay dedicated to the run, 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 stay dedicated to the run, and that only works if you keep teams honest with the occasional play action shot downfield, the occasional deep ball, the occasional keep you honest play. Which is why you can be out in Seattle and you can run, run, run with all the different wide receivers that they bring in. And then occasionally DK Metcalf, occasionally Tyler Lockett, right? The Dave Canales was in Seattle with Russell Wilson throwing those moon shots, right? The punts that are spirals and fall down into the hands of the guys downfield. He was in Tampa last year where Rashad White got the ball a billion times, but Mike Evans had a bunch of touchdowns because they would play action, deep ball, jump ball, throw it downfield, and Chris Godwin was kind of the ham and egger I was talking about. Thielen can be effective. He was effective last year. Deontay Johnson will be effective. They're building, they're rebuilding, they're finding a way to do it. I would be very surprised if they don't still have a long way to go.
They definitely still, I mean, because again, you've only added one. You've only added one piece. It's like, okay, like you mentioned, Johnson, the trade, still have Mingo and Thielen coming back. Smith Marsetta's gadget guy, returner, might use like a special play here and there type thing. Mm-hmm. You still need to add probably a couple.
I know, yeah, like I said, two in the draft and maybe a tight end.
I'm okay with it.
Like, you need an infusion of that talent. You spent your free agency money on the offensive line. Great. Give Bryce Young 8 seconds to throw and nobody open. Like, you now have to go make sure the guys can get open. Deontay Johnson can. Adam Thielen can, I think, still do it. And obviously you want him to age gracefully. You need to add more to it, though. Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete DeRuta, America's wealth coach and best-selling author. Coach, one of the big questions I always hear is, do I have enough money to retire?
Well, maybe, maybe not. The most important thing is you have lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll design that plan for the next 10 people who call. No cost or obligation. Put yourself in control of retirement.
Call 800-691-3215. You can also text Tim to 600-700. That's T-I-M to 600-700. You'll hear from Coach Pete and the Capital Financial Advisory Group. Dave Canales and Dan Morgan spoke to the media yesterday. You know, what's the Panthers' reputation to the national media?
Well, they earned that reputation. They earned that reputation.
It's not wholly unwarranted. That was very much a Canes gripe that we had, not a Panthers gripe.
Does the national media actually care?
They like Carolina as a punching bag.
Oh, it's easy.
The Panthers get talked about more by the national media than like the let me pick a good team here. Than like San Diego. The Chargers.
It's hard to talk about San Diego.
Hey, well, they definitely get talked about more than San Diego. They get talked about more by the national media than like Seattle. Because it's just more fun to have a punching bag than like a middle of the road. Anyway, Dave Canales, Dan Morgan spoke to the media yesterday. This was part of their pre-draft media availability. And there's a few things. One thing you're going to see from the local media when they talk with Dave Canales and Dan Morgan, and obviously we know a bunch of them, and some of them even, you know, belong to our same company. You're going to see them try to, like, martial arts their way to questions that get the answers we're looking for without having to ask the questions because they'll know to dodge them. What I mean by that is we all want to know how much Tepper meddles, right? We all want to know how much David Tepper is involved in the draft process, or is he telling you who to draft, right? Because there were rumors that Tepper was highly involved in the Bryce Young versus C.J. Stroud decision, and we want to know if that's true. But have you ever raised your hand at a Dan Morgan press conference and says, "Hey, you know, so and so, 99.9 the Fan." I don't know why I said so. I could have said my own name. Tim Donnelly, 99.9 the Fan. Is David Tepper telling you who to draft? Dan Morgan's going to see that coming. That's a fastball. That's a batting practice fastball. And he's going to word salad his way out of it, and you'll look like an idiot, meaning the person that asked the question. So instead, you start asking, like, who has the final say on draft decision-making? And you try to pay attention to nonverbals, and you try to see how much they wiggle and wriggle their way through the answer. You try to pick up any information you have. So with that being said, here's Dan Morgan on who has the final say in the draft process.
Obviously, having final say, it's about collecting everybody's opinions, filtering that, and then making the best decision for the Carolina Panthers. You know, I think from a process standpoint, you know, I think coming up the ranks, you're always, you know, thinking to yourself, okay, how would I do this? And obviously, I have my own methods. You know, we've had some really cool studies amongst the scouts, us just talking through guys, comparing guys, placing guys on the board. So it's really been a collaborative effort.
Do you believe him, Dennis?
No.
No? He's a powerful guy. When he talks at the podium, he owns it. You didn't get the vibe that he actually has final say?
I know, like you said, he's saying the right things. I don't know. I'm skeptical because of history with David Tepper, track record.
I think it is. This is the way I think it goes. I think he does have final say. I think he can take who he wants. I think if he takes somebody that David Tepper doesn't like, it just becomes a very antagonistic, you better be right. Right? It's if David Tepper makes it known that he wants, I'm just going to pick two wide receivers, Mitchell from Texas over Franklin from Oregon, and Dan Morgan's like, no, we want Franklin, and they're both available, and he takes Franklin, I think he has the right to walk up there and put in the name or to call in the name on draft day. I think then Tepper looks at him and goes, better be right, and it becomes antagonistic.
We remember from when Morgan was introduced, actually when Dave Canales was introduced as the head coach, someone asked, I forget who it was, asked Tepper if he was going to talk, and he said, nope, I'm behind the scenes now. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay. People took it as like, all right, you're taking a step back. You're not going to meddle. We'll see.
And that leads us to the next clip from Dave Canales yesterday talking to the media on trying to create a place that's great to work at.
I'm trying to create a place that's great to work at, a place where people get excited to come in, excited to sit in these meeting rooms. It's entertaining. It's informative, but it's not too much. And just in general, it feels personal. So just trying to make sure I position myself in those high traffic places in the building and just make that one touch a day if I can.
I think that's energy that's better spent elsewhere. Here's what I mean by that. I don't think you have to try to make an NFL franchise like scouting department or coaching staff. I don't think you have to try to make working for an NFL team great to work. I think you just have to make sure you're not unintentionally trying to make it a bad place to work. I think the baseline, right, of working at an NFL team is pretty awesome, right? You're at a wedding. You're at the rehearsal dinner, meeting someone you haven't known. Oh, yeah, what do? You get to say, I work for the Carolina Panthers. You're automatically like a cool person at the wedding. You're automatically, they're going to their table like, see that guy over there? See that lady over there? Works for an NFL team. Like, it is just cool to work in professional sports. It just is. So the teams that have had bad cultures to work for, they've had to do that, right? They've had to make that happen when, in actuality, if you just go about your business and kind of stay baseline, it's going to be awesome, right? It's like, I don't know, working at Disney World or something. No one goes into Disney World saying, you know what we're going to try to do today? We're going to try to be perky and upbeat. We're going to try to have a good attitude. It's like you work at Disney World, right? The attitude kind of comes with the territory, right? Mickey Mouse is going to walk by you multiple times a day. You don't have a smile on your face, that's a you thing. And then there's so many different avenues of it.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Dave Canales, this next clip, and this all comes from yesterday's media availability, is on alignment. It's on
the alignment.
It's the theme of their entire offseason is alignment between the four horses of the franchise, right? Owner, GM, head coach, quarterback. This particular clip we're about to air from Canales is about the coaches and front office gap and how they can bridge it.
Yeah, well, Dan had the great ideas, like right off the bat when we came in with the two staffs. Once our staffs were set, he said, let's bring them in here. I want you guys to talk about our schemes to my staff, to the personnel department and the guys. And so we literally went like big picture offensive philosophy. Gerald comes in and talks about big picture defensive philosophy. Each position coach talked about the traits that they're looking for. And so then we were able to kind of bring that picture to life from a coaching standpoint, you know, and then really give, that was before the scouts all went out on the road and started going to all the pro days, you know, so.
I like it. I do think they're halfway to like, hey, we had the coaches and the front office executives go bowling as a team building exercise and we did trust falls, but I'd rather try that than have a group that's not on the same page.
Hey. Let's go bowling.
We'd be paintballed. We went camping together. I had somebody tell me that you never know somebody until you go on an 8-hour drive with them.
Oh, okay.
Dan Morgan, Dave Canales, Dave Tepper, and Bryce Young.
Road tripping it?
Need to just 4 hours in one direction, get gas, 4 hours, come back. They just it is so unbelievably important that that alignment is there, which is why I like that they keep promoting it and they keep making it a priority. But those four individuals have to be so otherworldly on the same page. And I'm not saying you have to like everything the other one does, right? I imagine that they just had that little, whatever, the summit where the coaches walked up there and explained everything they wanted to do on offense and defense, and the front office was there to learn. I imagine that they didn't agree with everything, right? That when they said, hey, we want our defensive ends to be, more run stoppers or whatever, that there was a scout there saying, well, actually, I like edge rushers to be a little bit lighter, a little bit faster. I like them to come off the edge. Okay, fine, right? You can disagree, but at least now you all know and trust, right? Because the coaches have to know you're bringing in people to be successful in their system. Bryce Young has to know you're bringing in the wide receivers that work with his skill set. Dave Canales has to know that Bryce Young is going to do everything he can to make his play calls work. The trust has to be through the roof. And then there's Dave Canales' personality. Let's hear what it sounds like from a player's perspective. We have Adam Thielen on Dave Canales' personality.
I think that aura, that energy, that attitude is contagious. And you can tell when the different coaches get up and speak that it's contagious to them. You know, they feel that from their leader, from the top, you know, going up, filtering all the way down. And, I think the more and more we're around this staff as players, it's just going to, it's kind of going to trickle down to us as well. And the leadership of the team, of the players, and then down to the young guys.
Have you seen the, it's an old video. It's from like a 1995 or 1994 launch of like Windows or Microsoft Windows.
Yes.
Have you seen the video?
Mm-hmm.
Where Steve Ballmer is on, it looks like they're in like an auditorium. They're on stage with Bill Gates, and they're doing like some dancing, and Steve Ballmer is jacked up, and he's woo, and they're sweating, and they're having a great time, and it's that's to me Dave Canales, in that that's Ballmer's personality, right? That's not Bill Gates' personality. But Bill Gates was on stage with Ballmer, and the other guys from Microsoft were on stage with Ballmer, and they got caught up in it. And suddenly they're up there going fist bumping and doing everything else, even though that's Ballmer. Right? That's essentially what Adam Thielen just said, right? Other coaches get to take over a meeting, and they're upbeat and excited and way to go, just like Dave Canales, because they're all just kind of feeding off of that. It's going to be a wildly entertaining season. And guess what? They're going to lose three in a row at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be fascinated to see if Dave Canales is still like, man, this is great. I'm excited to play football. Do you have that clip from the other day?
Oh, do I? Don't worry, I'll get it for you.
All right. This is how we started an answer, and it made me laugh, and Dennis clipped it for us. I'm just going to play it for you. I can't imagine, or I can't wait until they lose three straight, or they lose – you know, 4 of 5, and it's a rough day, and then he starts an answer with this.
I feel great about playing football right now.
I feel great about playing football right now. That is Dave Canales in one sentence.
I feel great about playing football right now.
The drive with Tim
Donovan.
What? Yeah, that
in,
was
in April.
He said that on April 18th.
Jake, I'm getting worried. My house hunt's taking longer than expected. We've made so many offers and keep losing out.
You could really use the JAG advantage.
What's the JAG advantage?
The Jim Allen Group, number one real estate team in the state since 1996, with the largest inventory of home sites in the Triangle, 11,000. And they rep more than 65 communities.
The Jim Allen Group? Oh, I get it. The JAG advantage.
Score with the Jim Allen Group at thejagadvantage.com. Equal housing opportunity.